she said. "I am not used to important people opening their own doors. I am Esmeralda Weatherwax."
"How charming. I've heard so much about you," lied Bucket. "Pray, let me introduce you. No doubt you know Signor Basilica?"
"Of course," said Granny, looking Henry Slug in the eye. "I'm sure Signor Basilica recalls the many happy times we've had in other opera houses whose names I can't quite remember at the moment."
Henry grimaced a smile and said something to the interpreter.
"That is astonishing," said the interpreter. "Signor Basilica has just said how fondly he recalls meeting you many times before at opera houses that have just slipped his mind at present."
Henry kissed Granny's hand and looked up at her with pleading in his eyes. "My word," thought Bucket, "that look he's giving her. I wonder if they ever..."
And this is Mr. Salzella, our director of music," he said, remembering himself.
"Honoured," said Salzella, giving Granny a firm handshake and looking her squarely in the eye. She nodded.
"And what's the first thing you'd take out of a burning house, Mr. Salzella?" she inquired.
He smiled politely. What would you like me to take, madam?"
She nodded thoughtfully and let go of his hand.
"May I get you a drink?" said Bucket.
"A small sherry," said Granny.
Salzella sidled up to Bucket as he was pouring the drink.
"Who the hell is she?" "Apparently she's a rolling in money," whispered Bucket, "and very keen on opera." "Never heard of her." "Well, Signor Basilica has, and that's good enough for me. Make yourself pleasant to them, will you, while I try to sort out lunch."
He pulled open the door and tripped over Nanny Ogg.
"Sorry," said Nanny, standing up and giving him a cheerful grin. "These door knobs are a bugger to polish, aren't they?"
Ogg. Ogg, could you run along to the kitchens and tell Mrs. Clamp there will be another one for lunch, please?"
"Right you are."
Nanny bustled away. Bucket nodded approvingly. "What a reliable old lady," he thought. It wasn't exactly a secret. When the room had been divided, a space had been left between the walls. At the far end, it opened onto a staircase, a perfectly ordinary staircase, which even had some grubby daylight via a dirt-encrusted window. Agnes was vaguely disappointed. She had expected, well, a real secret passage, perhaps with a few torches flickering secretly in rather valuable secret wrought-iron holders. But the staircase had just been walled off from the rest of the place at some time. It wasn't secret. It had merely been forgotten. There were cobwebs in the corners. The cocoons of extinct flies hung down from the ceiling. The air smelled of long-dead birds. But there was a clear track through the dust. Someone had used the stairs several times. She hesitated between up and down and headed up. That was no great journey. After one more flight, it ended at a trapdoor that wasn't even bolted. She pushed at it and then blinked in the unaccustomed light. Wind caught at her hair. A pigeon stared at her and flew away as she poked her head into the fresh air. The door had opened out onto the opera house's roof, just one more item in a forest of skylights and air shafts. She went back inside and headed downwards and became aware, as she did so, of the voices. The old stairs hadn't been totally forgotten. Someone had at least seen their usefulness as an air shaft. Voices filtered up. There were scales, distant music, snatches of conversation. As she went down, she passed through layers of noise like a very carefully made sundae of sound. Grebo sat on top of the kitchen cupboard and watched the performance with interest.
"Use the ladle, why don't you?" said a scene shifter.
"It won't reach, Walter."
"Yes, Mrs. Clamp."
"Give me that broom."
"Yes, Mrs. Clamp."
Grebo looked up at the high ceiling, to which was affixed a sort of thin, 10-pointed star.